So can you open your Bibles at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27? It's on page 998. 998. And it's Jesus before Pilate. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governors. This is verse 11. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" "And you have said so," replied Jesus. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one of you wants me to release you to you? Is it Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of the self-interest that they had handed him Jesus over to him. So while Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent a message, "Don't have anything to do with this innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. And then if we could turn to verse 32. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene, named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered up Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there.
Thank you. I suspect it would be good to keep that open in front of you. It could be useful. And never know, there might be some test questions asked later. I don't know. We'll see. Andrew, it's lovely to welcome you here this morning. Again, it doesn't seem possible. It's a year since you were last here. The time has flown by. And we're all really pleased to welcome you back to talk to us this morning. For those who don't know Andrew, Andrew was for many years a teacher along at Skinner's, which is where he had the misfortune to have to put up with me in one of his classes. Whether he needed therapy afterwards, I'm not sure, but he survived that fairly well. And a big connection with Crusaders over the years, which I know is very precious to quite a number here as well. So Andrew, come and do with this whatever seems good to you. We are trusting you. And God bless.
Thank you, Roger, for your welcome. I'm not quite sure why, but whenever I sort of come to Tunbridge Wells now, I find myself roughly sort of getting into teacher mode. Now, if that you feel that should be the case this morning, I do apologize. he asked for a title of the talk, I think, a long time ago, and I said, well, seeing it's in the week that it is, I think the title might be Crosstalk. Having prepared the talk, I've realized, actually, I've nothing new to say. I guess that most of you have heard it all before. So this is a revision lesson. When the exam is, I've no idea. Folk keep on giving me post-its for presents. They think I need them. They're probably right, because one of the things I find myself increasingly difficult is remembering. And I need aids to the memory. And so post-its have appeared in various places in my flat. I sometimes remember to look at them, what they say and so forth, and sometimes I forget. I don't know whether that's your experience or not. But a kind of post-it, it isn't a post-it actually, it's a piece of graffiti. A piece of graffiti which has helped me remember why this is the week that changed the world and the significance of a Friday which is described as Good Friday is a piece of graffiti which is to be found in various places of the world. Most it's a very interesting piece of graffiti, isn't it? It's quite clever. It's a kind of Banksy, intelligent Banksy, I feel, because, you know, it can be read in all sorts of ways. It can be read this way, can't it? It can be read that way, and it can be read, I think, that way. And if you remember your Latin from school, of course, you have no problems in reading what it says. I'm looking in Murray's direction there, of course. It's a clever fourfold palindrome. And amongst the places where it is scratched on walls are Pompeii and Herculaneum. Now, how many people have ever been to Pompeii here? I thought, for anybody been to Herculaneum? Good, the little seaside port about 15 miles away from Pompeii. And I went, but I don't think I remember seeing the graffiti there. I'm not sure that it had actually been discovered amongst the ruins. But it's there today in both places. So it is a very old piece of graffiti. At least 1st century AD. Pre-79, as those of you who know the story of Pompeii and Herculaneum will know. It's found on a column by the Grand Palace and in a private house in Pompeii. And in Herculaneum, it's found on a pillar in the wrestling school. From time to time, when students came into my classroom, they saw it on the wall. And I always knew what they were going to say when they looked at it. They asked a question. It was always the same. If I was a betting person, I would be wealthy. So what do you think the question they asked when they came in the room and they saw that on the wall? If they were polite, they might start with sir. And the question was, very nearly there, what is that, or what's it mean? And when I was in annoying frame, I said, well, why should it mean anything? But they wouldn't have it. They argued strongly. No, it must mean something. Why are you asking me? Because you put it there. I said, did you see me put it there? I noticed that was of interest because many of these young men and women who asked that question, in variety of discussions with me, refused to accept that important question about life is, what does it mean? Why should it have any meaning? Why indeed? Why do we ask that question? But look at the pattern. It's clearly evidence that somebody put it there. It wouldn't have just appeared like that, because it's such a clever arrangement. It suggests a mind. It does indeed. So this is my post-it, because I think it contains a message in code relevant to Good Friday. It reminds me of the three wow factors of that day. Crucifixion was the most excruciating form of putting anyone to death. Think of the pain from top to toe. Think of the humiliation and shame, the public display of a naked body, where you couldn't even knock the fly off the nose, off your nose. It wasn't invented by the Romans, but it was perfected by them and used extensively, sometimes hundreds per day, reserved, of course, not for Roman citizens. They were exempt, but reserved for lawbreakers and traitors and slaves who rebelled and low-life scum. It's not surprising that a Jewish writer said, well, anybody ending up on a cross must be under God's curse. So ghastly it is. And there is a cross in this acrostic, and it appears four times. Here, 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 and here. Because that was quite a common form of cross on which the Romans crucified. And Simon of Cyrene, who was compelled to carry the cross, didn't carry the whole thing. You only needed to carry the crossbeam. The post was there. You've got a copy of the acrostic on your table, just in case your eyesight doesn't lend itself to getting this far. So either look here or look there a minute. And I've got a question for you. Here's the cross here, and here, and here, and here. What do you notice about the letters on either side of the cross in each case? A minute to talk amongst yourselves and decide. What do you notice about the letters on each side of the four T's in the acrostic? Time to talk amongst yourselves and decide, because we don't want to, we want a joint answer from the table. We don't want any sort of from.
That your car is blocking somebody in.
Can't be. Blocking? Sure?
Well, apparently. Right.
Do you want to go move? It's here? It's here. It's the penultimate one up here? The Penna, right up. The Astra, on this road. It's the penultimate one. The Astra, right at the end there. Is that the person who wants it? Right.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And may I suggest that on each table there's a highlighter. Could you highlight the two letters on either side of the four T's? I might be back sometime. If not, John Finnis said he'd take over. Hello. Hello.
Was it the red dog?
Pardon?
Are you driving a red dog?
No.
Oh, I thought that's what you were. Well,
I'm told my car is in the way, but I can't believe it is.
What car is yours?
My Astra here. No, it's a red Gulf that they want.
I found the person.
Have you? You found? Okay. Yeah, great. Okay. Do you agree? There's the answer on the board. On either side of the T. Oh, there is a mistake, isn't there? Yeah, very good. So what's happened there? However, it's right on yours, isn't it? It's all right. The teacher's made a mistake. He's left an A somewhere around the place. Okay, all right, now then, of course, if you'd lived in the first century, you would have all gone to school, because you're intelligent people, and a compulsory lesson on the curriculum would not have been RE, it would have been Greek, because everybody in the empire required to speak Greek, and you would have learned the alphabet. And the alphabet starts with an A and ends with an O. That's what you would have learned, all right? Alpha is the first letter and omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. The beginning and the end. The beginning and end of what? The beginning and end of life? The beginning and end of existence? The beginning and end of history? The beginning and end of this session? The world? John the Apostle ended up, of course, as many of you know, working in the labor camps of the salt mines of Patmos. Out of that experience sprung the book of the Revelation. And the very first chapter of the book of the Revelation, he hears the creator of the world speak. And God said, I am Alpha and Omega. The first and the last. Shortly after that, John had a vision, extraordinary vision, and he discovered it was his Savior, Jesus, in that vision. And Jesus speaks to him. Don't be afraid, John. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Whoever is responsible for this extraordinary piece of graffiti, I think we're saying, and this is the first bit of the message for me, is that this event, this particular death on Good Friday, was the most important event in the history of time. From first to last, that is the event that needs examination. My question on the Bible readings you had just now, and no cheating by glancing down, but as it is, Roger told you to keep the Bible open, I was hoping you would shut it. My question is, what were the last two words that the reader read? No cheating, you can discuss it amongst yourselves at the table. The last two words of the reading. The last two words of the reading. When you think you know it, then you can look down at the passage and check whether you are right. The last two words of the Bible reading. The first of them has three letters, and the second one has five letters. And the answer is, the last two words of the reading, him there, him there. Him there. Him there. My dad preached a sermon on this about 60 years ago in a little chapel in the Wiltshire countryside, and his text was him there. Because that was the claim of the Christian preachers of the first century. That the person who died on that cross on that Good Friday was the Alpha and Omega of all time. That is outrageous. You will not find that idea anywhere else in the world, in any philosophy, in any religion, in any worldview. It is totally unique. The right place for God is on a throne or a horse. It's certainly not on a cross. He does not fit on a cross. It's not the right place for him. Sidney Carter put it this way. It was on a Friday morning that they took me from the cell, and I saw they had a carpenter to crucify as well. You can blame it on to Pilate, you can blame it on the Jews, you can blame it on the devil. It's God I accused. It's God they ought to crucify instead of you and me, I said to the carpenter, hanging on the tree. Now Barabbas was a killer, and they let Barabbas go. But you are being crucified for nothing here below. Your God is up in heaven, and he doesn't do a thing, with a million angels watching, and they never move a wing. To hell with Jehovah, to the carpenter, I said. I wish that a carpenter had made the world instead. It's God they ought to crucify instead of you and me, I said to that carpenter, hanging on the tree. Who? Where? Him. There. Hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. I'd like you to cut up your acrostic. There are a pair of scissors on the table, and could somebody wield them and simply cut along the lines so that you have some individual letters? Yep, keep cutting, yep. Encouragement from the others. You won't be marked on how straight you cut them, and it doesn't matter if they turn out a bit odd-shaped or anything else like that. While that's going on, you will need a space in the centre of the table, so hymn books and Bibles and things would be worthwhile moving towards sort of the end, so you do have a space, because you're going to do something with these letters. Okay, the next lesson, having done the Greek alphabet, is dictation. Dictation. So I shall dictate, and as I dictate, will you kindly put on the table what I'm asking you. So I'm going to start with a P. Okay, in the middle of the table. Okay, A. Following the P, an A. Following the A, a T. Following the T, an E. Following the E, an R. Following the R, an N. Following the N, an O. Following the O, an S. Following the S, a T. Following the T, an E. Following the E, an R. In that case, your world has crashed. And I don't know why you have been selected, because all the other tables have an N, and it must be there, so I think you should all be frisked, because somebody has put the N in their pocket and walked away with it. Okay, then could somebody pick up an A and just hold it in their hand, and somebody else pick up an A, somebody else pick up an A and hold it in their hand, and somebody else, no, we've got two A's, not four A's, two people should have an A in their hand. Only two people at the table should have an A in their hand. And two people at the table should pick up an O, but not the O that I've... Okay. All right? So you can't have both an A, you can't have both the A and the O unless there are so few people at the table, you can't do it. Okay. So on the table we've got P-A-T-E-R-N-O-S-T-E-R, and we've got two A's being held by people in the room and two O's. Okay?
Sorry, Andrew. This has never happened before. With apologies for interrupting, is there somebody here with a grey or grey and white VW? If so, please could they move it? It's somebody's VW. Waited a quarter of an hour to get out and they can't.
Grey?
It's grey or grey and white. I can't remember, but it's a VW. Thank you. Sorry, Andrew.
Can I just, there's a problem on this table. I can't see they've dictated it very well. I started with a P, right? We're working backwards, are we? Okay. Right, okay. This is most extraordinary, but okay. And it was P-A-T-E-R-N-O-S-T-E-R, E-R, E-R, E-R on the end. E-R on the end. Thank you. Okay. Right. Okay. Okay. And two A's are being held by people in the group, and two O's are. Okay. I think N-O-S-T-E-R. You're going to have a problem if you... Okay. Your dictation isn't... Okay. Right. I think we got there. Nearly there. Okay. So, now then. You have written down P-A-T-E-R-N-O-S-T-E-R. And Latin scholars will say, well, you put in one word, what are two? Because it should read pater noster. Pater noster. Yes. Yeah, indeed. And it's Latin. And we can all translate into English because you are very familiar with it. It means our father. And I guess most of you in the room have said pater noster a lot of times in your life. Our father. And this is the way Jesus told his followers they could address God. Abba. In the way that any Jewish lad or girl would talk to their dad. You can talk to God in the same way that you can talk to your heavenly, to your mum or dad. That kind of relationship you can enjoy. That is wow. You will not find that anywhere else in the world, in any history, in any philosophy, in any religion. You cannot be as chummy to God as that. You cannot enjoy that quality of relationship. On what grounds? How can this be? well, what I'd like you to do is to add the remaining letters, leave the paternoster exactly where it is, and don't let go of the A's and O's if you were holding one. You've got some other letters on the table. How are they going to be placed? They must link with the paternoster. Don't move the paternoster. What do you notice about the other letters on the table? Look at the paternoster and then the letters you've left with on the table. We've got a winning table here. Don't let go of the two A's which you took and the two O's which you took away from the table. You held them in your hand. Oh, that's interesting. There are two P's. Oh, that's interesting. We've got two P's on the table. Oh, we've got an A on the table. We've got an A. Oh, we've got a T on the table. We've got an E on the table. We've got an R on the table. But we haven't got one letter missing on the table. We haven't got an N. There's only one N. So where are you going to put your other letters? These letters. You've got one N on the table. Use the N on the table. Use this one. And put these using that N. No, don't move it. Don't move it. You mustn't move it. Use it, but don't move it. There's your N. Okay.
No.
All of them. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. No. The two being held should still be held. No. Only the letters on the table. You're still stuck, I'm giving you a clue. If you're still stuck, I'm giving you a clue. Think of the title of the talk today. And you land up with a cross. How is it that you and I can enjoy this kind of relationship with God, so intimate? On what grounds? On the grounds of the cross. Him there, who, where? Him there. Why? Why? Why him there? In order to bridge the gulf which exists between humanity and its creator. The gulf between men and women, between slave and free, between Jew and Gentile, between Israeli and Palestinian. The cross on which Jesus died did not have his name on it. It had the name of Jesus Barabbas on it. But instead of the son of Abbas, the son of God died. The innocent taking the place of the guilty. one of the men crucified alongside Jesus got it. Alexander Begg has an extraordinary little 2 minutes video imagining that thief who turned to Jesus in repentance arriving at the gates of heaven and being questioned. Why should we let you in? And his reply is, the man on the middle cross said I could come. And so Paul, in the letter to the Christians at Ephesus, spends a whole chapter outlining the way in which the cross bridged the gulf between humanity and its creator, and between all the forms of humanity which find some reason or another to hate another branch. But now in Christ Jesus, who you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, you Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, you Jews. For through him we both have access to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father. Lots of people come to God. Only through Jesus will you find God the Father. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know, with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom, and I've been set free to become a daughter or son of God, and can address him as Abba, Father. There is one more cross, of course, in the acrostic. I was going to give you the task which would give you an A star on your table before coffee time, but I think we've run out of time. I was going to get you to reassemble the acrostic with your letters. Well, let's see who get on. A minute. Just see. Can you re? Of course, the other, I could have said, the A's and the O's which you're holding in your hand, they could actually go an A there and an O here, and an O there and an A there. So they do actually have a part to play on it. So would you like to just have a go at reassembling the acrostic? Now you've only got one N. You've only got one N. So that's going to go in the middle of the acrostic, isn't it? The N. And there are four T's, and they go roughly in the middle of each of the lines, don't they? And we know the letters which go on either side. Thank you. The clue, of course, is the cross, isn't it? Get the cross in the right place and you'll be all right.
Opera, yep. Well done. Now, for a short time in my life, I was engaged in a school to teach Latin. And the principle was, if you have a Latin sentence, and you've got a kind of Latin sentence here, you've got a farmer, a sower, his name is Arepo, and he's holding the wheels carefully and so forth. But the Latin, how are we going to translate this sentence, sir? The clue is find the verb. Yes. Find the verb. Find the doing word. And the doing word, the verb is here and here. That is the verb. Tenet. Once you found the doing word, the rest actually becomes a little bit more manageable. Because you could then say, who or what is doing the doing? That leads to finding the subject and so forth. And what's he doing it for, or who's he doing it for? And that gets you the object. However, I'm not teaching you Latin. What I'm saying is notice the verb. Find the verb and notice the tense of the verb. Is it talking about something which happened in the past, or in the future, or in the here, right now? So, could you decide on your table, is this verb in the past tense, the future tense, or the present tense? Tenet. Just decide. I want a joint answer from the table. I don't want any. All right. What do you think is a table? Tenet. Is it past, present, or future? Okay. Everybody decided. So, can I have a representative of each table? Just appoint somebody from each table to represent you. Somebody from each table represent you. Hands up. That represent. Who thinks it's the past tense? Who thinks it's the future tense? Who thinks it's the present tense? Of course it's the present tense. Of course it's the present tense. Because we're talking about the cross of Good Friday. And it's a cross, it's not a crucifix. The symbol of Christianity is not a crucifix. There is no body on this cross now. This is the third wow factor of the cross of Christ, why that Friday really is Good Friday. In the Old Testament, God said to Moses, my name is not I was or I will be, but I am. Probably the name of the farmer. So here in the third cross, we have a confession of faith of somebody who was living in Herculaneum or Pompeii the day Vesuvius erupted and their world ended. But their confession of faith was, he holds. Not he removes us. Not he exempts us from any difficulty or pain or problem. It's he stands alongside us, holding us, no matter what happens in life.
Paul writing to Timothy, probably one of his last letters, he refers to the time he is brought to court. At my first events, no one came to my support, he writes to Timothy. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. He experienced tenet. And I guess over a cup of coffee just now, you might like to tell other people on your table any occasion when you have experienced tenet, the fact that God has got hold of you and held you tight, secure, never to let you go. That was John's experience on Patmos. That was a number of unknown Christians in Rome round about AD 64 when Nero rolled them in pitch and set them alight to illuminate his gardens. The hands which hold you have scars in them. Who shall separate us from the love of God, of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because, tenet. Happy Easter.
Andrew, thank you very, very much indeed. An unforgettable lesson, illustration of what Good Friday and Easter mean. Let's finish with a prayer. Loving Lord Jesus, thank you that on that day, in that moment, you were all of these things, the Alpha and Omega, the Father that we can approach and who loves us, and the one who saves and holds all through every day of our lives. Lord, we just thank you for the wonderful, loving miracle that was Easter. Bless us each one, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.